It's the Danny Fino Show! Let me introduce your host. Danny Fino is Sasha the Legit King.
It's the start of the show, time to walk through the smoke. When I enter the ring, I jump over the ropes. I feel like Mysterio, I ain't no joke. Titles, I held them both, call me Chris Jericho. Time to cash in my money in the bank. Just like Sheamus when he beat Roman Reigns. Meet me in the cage, like Undertaker when he met Kane. I don't play games, I'm the Triple H. The crowd screaming, you rock like my name's Dwayne. The crowd screaming, you suck like you're Kurt Angle. In the ring, I'm the boss just like Sasha Banks. So you'll get whipped like the intro from Sable. King of my stable, don't matter the label. Smackdown or Raw, you get put through a table. Pushed off a ladder or choked with a cable. Throw me a chair, I'ma give him a facial. It's the start of the show, time to walk through the smoke. When I enter the ring, I jump over the ropes.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. Welcome back to the fastest growing wrestling podcast in the world. This is the Daddy Fino Show. Baby, how you guys doing? You guys know who I am. I am your host. It's your boy, Daddy Fino, baby. And I am ready for today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. You guys all know my co-host Sasha the Legit King is out right now, but she'll be back soon. I can't wait for her return. I miss her so much. But today's episode is just gonna be your boy riding solo. This is episode 30, ladies and gentlemen. Holy shit, we're on episode 30 already. Ah, man, this is gonna be awesome. I can't believe it's been 30 episodes already. God. But hey, we've had a long road so far. We got so much more coming. I can't wait to get into everything. You know, just the future is so bright, ladies and gentlemen. It feels good. It feels good to know that there's so much ahead. And I can't wait to get there. But before we get there, you know, I hope you guys checked out the last episode, episode 29 of the Daddy Fino Show. I had a special guest host along the ride with me, that joined me on the show. It was my boy, Hydrate10K. We talked about a bunch of topics. We talked about Forbidden Door. We talked about Roman Reigns being away. You know, a whole bunch of topics that we talked about. And I just feel like today's episode, which is the second episode this week, ladies and gentlemen, the second episode. That's a lot, but I feel like everything we talked about, like, just changed in like a couple of days. Within the week, everything we talked about just got like reversed and flipped on his head, and everything just went crazy. This has been a weird 2 weeks of wrestling. A few weeks. I'm not gonna just limit it to two. A few weeks of wrestling. It's just, I don't remember a time where so much shit was happening. But I hope you guys check out episode 29 for sure. It was a really good episode. But today we got to talk about that craziness of wrestling that's been happening. It was so much craziness that we had to drop an extra episode this week because I didn't want to wait to talk about it. I wanted to go ahead and talk about it and just get right into it. You know what I mean? I will say this, there will not be any quick shits today because every topic of today is going to be crazy. It's going to probably be long and extended, so there's no quick shits today. We're just going to jump right into the topics, and you guys all know all the topics. I'm just going to tell you what they are right now. We got to talk about Sasha Banks potentially being released by the WWE. We got to talk about Vince McMahon and all the alleged circumstances that he is in, with him also stepping down as the CEO of WWE temporarily, and Stephanie McMahon taking his place. We gotta talk about Jeff Hardy's arrest, his DUI. Let's see what else. Well, the craziness happened this week. We gotta talk about the very poor Forbidden Door. lead up. We got to talk about it. I'm sorry, Tony, but we got to. Great idea to start, but it's not looking good for your heroes. What else am I missing? I know we got some more craziness going on in the world of wrestling. It'll all come down, but those are just a list of the topics. Oh, we got to talk about Randy Orton's injury, back injury, the potential effects of that, and what the hell is WWE going to do? We did get the answer, a partial answer to that last night on SmackDown, and that's exactly where we're going to lead off with. We're going to lead off with last night's SmackDown. Friday night was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We all know that it was the first defense of the reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Universal Unified Champion of the World. I kind of screwed it up, but it's a long name. It's okay. But it's the head of the table, the Tribal Chief, the GOAT. Roman Reigns made his return and is defending his title for the first time against Riddle in the main event of SmackDown. And I gotta tell you this, ladies and gents, it was a good match. It was a really good match. I really, really enjoyed it. There was a couple of close counts right there where Riddle, you know, honestly, there was a chance. There was part of me that thought Riddle might have won. You know, when he hit that RKO on Reigns, when Reigns was going for that spear, I was like, oh shit, you know, I gotta say, it was a good match though, really good match. At the end of the day though, Roman Reigns wins the match with a spear, and 1, 2, 3, he celebrates, he tells Minneapolis to acknowledge him, and then he's leaving, and then the music hits. The music that belongs to none other than the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar returns in his hometown, I believe. Minnesota is his home. Minneapolis, Minnesota, I believe that's his hometown. No, you went to college there. But he returns. He goes into the ring. Goes face to face with Roman Reigns. Offers him a handshake. Roman's about to take the handshake, and then Brock Lesnar picks him up for the F5, and then the Usos jump into the ring. Brock Lesnar F5s both of them and celebrates. And then after the show, breaking news, we get Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a last man standing match in the main event of SummerSlam. That is the announced main event. I gotta say, it's tough. I'm gonna tell you this. I know that a lot of people are probably mad about this main event. I'll say that. I know they are. They have every right to be. You know, we're going to see Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again. I mean, we've seen this match a bunch of times over the last couple of years. Let's just say over the last 5 years for sure, we've seen this match at least almost 10 times, if not 10 already. You know, we've seen it main event several WrestleManias. We've seen it on at SummerSlams, you know, Royal Rumbles. You know, this is like the, you know, how Rock always had, like, his number one opponent was Austin or Triple H. You know, you always seen it. You go back to Cena, who always had Randy Orton as his opponent. It looks like Roman's, like, arch enemy, arch nemesis, or whatever you want to call it, is going to be Brock Lesnar, and they're always going to be tied together, especially when you add in Paul Heyman in that, you know. So we're going to see it again, this time in a last man standing match. We've never seen them in a last man standing match together. Main eventing in SummerSlam, I believe that's going to be at the MGM Arena in Las Vegas. I like it, to be honest with you. I really do. I'm confusing arenas. I'm sorry. No, Money in the Bank is taking place at MGM in Las Vegas. SummerSlam's taking place at the Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee. I forgot about that. I mixed them up. But anyway, I do like this. I like this match. You know, if you remember the main event of WrestleMania, Roman did beat Brock Lesnar, but it wasn't clean. You know, he did cheat. I believe he hit him with the title to win. So the story wasn't over. And we get more of Cowboy Brock Lesnar, which is awesome. Brock Lesnar as the cowboy version of him, it's been a new rebirth of the character with Brock Lesnar. You always got the Beast Incarnate, just the straight beast, but this one is a more relaxed, funnier, still angry type. He does great promos. I'm looking forward to this match. I know everyone's upset about it. You know, you got all these names that could have been put in this spot against Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. You could have gone with Drew McIntyre. You could have gone with Bobby Lashley. You could have even gone with Seth Rollins, someone like that. But I like it for the simple fact that, one, let's just say this. Drew McIntyre, I think, is going to face He's going to face Roman at Clash of the Titans or Clash of the Coliseum, whatever it is called, the one that's over there across the pond in Drew McIntyre's home country. I think that's going to be where Drew will get his title shot. It's the one that makes the most sense. I understand Bobby Lashley, people talking about, well, it could have been Bobby. I have no problem with it being Bobby, but I think Bobby's going to be placed in a spot where he's a top guy, but he's also the top guy that's going to help put people over. Right now, he's starting a feud with Theory for the United States title. I know they're going to be fighting at Money in the Bank for the U.S. title, but it's going to be a spot to help elevate Theory to potentially a main event level. And I have no problem with that. Seth Rollins, I'm not sure where they go with Seth Rollins. I know they started like a little thing with AJ Styles. AJ Styles kind of attacked him when he was talking trash about Cody. And then Seth Rollins qualified for the Money in the Bank match, defeating AJ Styles on Raw. I have my theories about what's going to happen with the Money in the Bank match. I'm just waiting to see who's going to be in the match first before I actually, you know, say it out loud. But right now, I will say that it's looking like my leading person to win, my favorite to win that match, is probably going to be Seth Rollins. And you never know, maybe we get a repeat. If Seth Rollins wins Money in the Bank, you get a repeat of WrestleMania, where WrestleMania 31, where Seth Rollins cashed in the Money in the Bank against Roman and Brock in the main event of WrestleMania. So you never know. With it being a last man standing match, I mean, it's definitely possible. But, you know, just getting back to the Brock Lesnar Roman match, I like it. Like I said, it's a new type of match we haven't seen with these two. They're going to put on a hell of a show. I really believe they will. I like their match at WrestleMania. I've liked pretty much all of their matches together. They know how to. They have great chemistry, and even if it's a short match, I still don't think it will. I mean, this is a last man standing match. It's gonna be, you know, they're gonna be fighting probably all over the stadium. You're gonna add the Usos to that and cause even more craziness that's gonna happen. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you need a big match to sell out a stadium. And Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns are two of the biggest names in WWE history. You know, and if they do any of the promos, you know, we got so much time. I think it's at the end of July. So we're really, you know, we're really close. We're almost a month and a half away. That's a month and a half of promos that we're going to get. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. I can't wait. I think it's going to be a fire match. It's going to be a great main event. I really believe that. I say just be patient, people. We'll be all right. Just enjoy, sit back and relax and enjoy. But you know who else might be sitting back, relaxing and enjoying this match? It may be Sasha Banks. The reason why, ladies and gentlemen, there's reports. The first report was by Raj. Raj has reported that the WWE has released the boss, Sasha Banks. I gotta say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little upset by this. I'm a little saddened by this. Now, this report has not been confirmed, other than by the sources, by several media people out there, wrestling media out there. I have not heard anything either from my sources. No one's actually telling, you know, letting anything out. So officially, she has not been released. But many reports are obviously saying the opposite. I believe she's still on the WWE roster page. Her merch, well, it was already taken off of WWE shop, but basically any normal release would see a lot of removals, and we have yet to see that in the case of Sasha Banks. This is crazy. This is really crazy because she's obviously a huge loss to the company. Her not being around now is just showing, you know, just the effects of her not being there. You know, obviously you're going to get and more opportunities for the other women to step up and fill that role. You know, that's a huge main event superstar that's not in the picture and is potentially not in the WWE anymore. You know, so a lot of good things can happen from it, but just sticking to Sasha Banks herself, you know, as like I said, she's a superstar. I think she's the best women's superstar in the world. And now, with her potentially being a free agent, you know, I'm assuming she will have the 90-day clause before she can join a roster or another wrestling company. If that is the case, you know, that's a huge get for anyone. More than likely, it will be AEW, who desperately, desperately needs a woman like Sasha Banks in their roster. And it would just be a huge get, for sure. Sasha Banks is, like I said, the best woman in the world. Great wrestler, great talker. Can do everything that you need of her. Can get the best out of anybody in any match. I think a feud with her and Britt Baker would be amazing. You can even go her and Jay Cargill to help elevate Jay Cargill. Whether you bring her back as a face or a heel, it doesn't matter. Sasha's going to be the boss no matter where she goes. It's going to be different without her in the WWE in the long run. You know, with her being one of the first four horsewomen to potentially leave the WWE, it's shocking. You know, you got Bayley, you got Becky, Charlotte. They're all doing their thing. You know, hopefully we see Bayley back soon from her injury. Becky's killing the game right now, and Charlotte's on break. And not having Sasha there is just going to be weird. I hope that the reports are false. I hope that they can work something out. Maybe with Vince being, you know, stepping back and Stephanie taking the reins, maybe Stephanie can, you know, have a say in who goes and who doesn't. Maybe she can convince Sasha to change her mind about things, and or maybe not change her mind, but just work things out. You know, I think one of the things about Stephanie being in charge, and I'll definitely get into this more later. You know, maybe this potentially leads to Triple H having more of a role in the higher ups and decision making. You know, depending on how long the situation lasts with Stephanie being in charge now. You know, maybe Trips can join in on the conversation with Sasha and help, you know, reel her back in into the business and, you know, back into the ring in the WWE. The same for Naomi. Hopefully this doesn't lead to Naomi also being released. I think that would be a tough one. I know her contract was supposedly ending pretty soon. I'm sure they'll probably freeze that if they have the opportunity to do so. I know attorneys were involved with the contract disputes and all this stuff too. It's going to be a very, very tough situation. I don't know. It's tough for me to even really talk about this, because that's one thing I never thought would happen. I never thought that Sasha Banks would ever leave the WWE. I know with all the issues that she's had with the company, you know, we all remember her break that she took. It was like a 4-month break after WrestleMania last year or the year before. It was 2 years ago. And then before she made her eventual return, it's a tough situation. At the end of the day, I don't know what can be done to reconcile this partnership, this, you know, just everything. I don't know what can be done to fix it. Maybe it's best that they do take a break from each other. It's not what I want. It's not what the people want. But it's something that something's got to be done at the end of the day. I'm just hoping that you know, if anything, maybe, you know, like I said before, maybe Triple H and Stephanie, with them being in control now, temporarily, but, you know, you never know how long this situation is going to be with Vince going on. You know, so maybe in that time span, you know, something can be done, and hopefully these rumors are not true. We'll see. We'll see. Let's get on to the next topic. And I already alluded to it several times because I feel like everything is entwined with each other. Vince McMahon. I'll just combine both. Vince McMahon and Stephanie. You know, Vince McMahon has voluntarily stepped down as CEO of WWE, the leader of the board of directors and all that. Stepped down from the board there also. And Stephanie McMahon, who recently, I want to say last week, put on Twitter that she was stepping away from her duties at the WWE to focus on family, has now arise from the ashes and is now taking the place of Vince McMahon temporarily, once again, as CEO and on the board. So, It's crazy. Now, this is all due to allegations. There's a review of some conduct that Vince McMahon partaked in. It's reported that he had an affair, a side piece, whatever way you want to call it. And then not only forced the woman, well, not forced her, but basically an NDA was signed, a non-disclosure agreement, where the woman won't be able to talk about the situation involving Vince McMahon. He paid her about $3 million is what the reports are saying. Along with the NDA. And because of this conduct, you know, and, you know, hopefully there's nothing more serious than that. But because of that, Vince has voluntarily stepped down. And this is... it's kind of funny. I wrote this on Facebook, but then I thought about it and I was like, hopefully, you know, this is all, of course, if there's no bad conduct going on along with this, like whether it been like sexual harassment or like, you know, any like rape allegations or anything like that. Hopefully nothing like that comes with it. But if it's just straight up, you know, Vince had a side piece, he paid her off to shut up about it, and that's it. It's kind of funny. I ain't gonna lie. Of all the ways Vince could have gone down, did not think this would be it. But yeah, you know, obviously, like I said, if there was any like sexual harassment or anything like that, rape or anything, then of course this is more serious and Vince needs to get, you know, just get the fuck out. However, if it's just, like I said, just a regular side piece thing. Now, just everyone should know, you know, there has been reports that also that came out that Vince and Linda's McMahon, his wife, has been separated for a while now. Like for, I don't know how long, but I've seen years, actually. Like they don't even, you know, whatever with each other. So, you know, him having a side piece, sorry for the notification. Him having a side piece, I mean, I get it because he's not with anybody. You know, I mean, he's technically single, I guess you could say. Even though they're still married, you know, it's, you know, I wouldn't blame him if he was, you know, having fun outside of the marriage. Because, I mean, they're not together anymore. You know, they're just technically just still married. I don't know if there was any, like, divorce talkings or anything like that. I figure maybe they just feel like they're too old and it just is best to stay together marriage related. It'd be too complicated, I guess, you know, with all the dealings that they have within the companies. It just would make sense to stay together. You know, we don't know any of the personal shit. It's just funny. It really is. Now, there are also reports that everything was consensual. It was nothing, you know, forced on the woman or anything like that, but you know, we'll see when there are more, when more of the investigation continues. You know, the board is using an outside investigator to do their job and, you know, see what exactly happened. You know, I've seen that the lady that in question, she, you know, originally had a $100,000 like salary, I guess that was her, how much she was getting paid to do her job, and then it got bumped up to like $200,000 or $300,000, I guess during this. So I can see some you know, obviously that's like some personal interest, especially if, you know, you got Vince and her, you know, dating or whatever the hell they were doing, having fun. You know, she got a bump in pay, I guess. You know, I can see from that standpoint, that's definitely wrong or something that you just can't do. You're not really supposed to show any type of favoritism and stuff like that also. But, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's just, it's crazy. I know, I think a lot of people are currently over-exaggerating the situation. Now, I'm only going off of what I've seen. If there's more out there that I haven't seen, then I do apologize. I'm just going off of just things that I've read. I haven't read everything, but, you know, from all I'm seeing, it's nothing too serious. But, you know, people just want to bash Vince and bash WWE. And I think it's mostly that side that hates the WWE that is really just aiming this on and making it more than it is. But at the end of the day, we still have a McMahon in charge. And like I said, that woman is Stephanie McMahon. She is taking the role of Vince McMahon as CEO. It's going to be interesting, you know, whether she is allowed to make decisions that Vince would have normally done. You know, this is Vince's daughter. I'm sure that, and Vince is still a part of the company, even though he's not temporarily in that seat. Are decisions still going to be made as if he isn't there? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's still going to have a say in everything with Stephanie. Stephanie's not going to do anything that Vince wouldn't do. You know, I highly doubt that Vince will even allow that to happen. And I think Steph is smart enough to know not to do that either. Vince is still going to have creative, you know, and make all the creative decisions and stuff like that. He did not lose his spot in that sense. I know there's a situation where John Laurinaitis is a part of this somehow. I guess they shared the woman or something. Like I said, nothing's for sure. These are all just reports. So, you know, but just getting to Stephanie, I always wanted Stephanie to take control of the company. Well, this is what I really want. Stephanie in control of the company, but I wanted Triple H to take over creative. You know, if this leads to Vince's downfall from and leaving WWE, I'm just hoping that Triple H is the man that takes his spot. I've always said that. I think that, you know, Triple H is the future of the WWE. From a creative standpoint, I think he can bring the WWE to points they, of course, not that they haven't reached. They've reached the highest of highest, but they can reach a level similar to it. And I think they can bring a lot of fans back into the WWE, whether that be current AEW fans, whether that be other wrestling fans, or just casuals or non-casual fans. I think something led by Triple H will help provide more eyes on the product. And if that's what this eventually leads to, maybe a much earlier exit for Vince than we all thought, because I mean, Vince is gonna live forever, you know. But if this leads to that, you know, eventually happening, then you could say it's a good thing. You really can. But you know, who fucking knows? I honestly just have no idea what to really say. It's just an interesting story. I just think it's kind of funny. But until we know more about the situation, there's really nothing more we really can say. So yeah, now let's get on to the next topic. And we talked about WWE enough. Yeah, let's talk about let's talk some AEW. Yeah, let's get some AEW into this, because AEW has a pay-per-view coming up a week from tomorrow. It is called Forbidden Door. We all know Forbidden Door is a joint pay-per-view with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. This is a pay-per-view that I'm actually hyped for. Or I should say I was hyped for. It's been a big letdown so far leading up to it. They don't have enough star power at this show for me to really, really enjoy it like I originally hoped I would. Because right now, you know, from the New Japan side, let's look on the New Japan side. Right now, we don't have Sonata. We don't have Naito. We don't have Okada. We don't even have Toru Yano at this event. No Ishii that I know of. I haven't heard of anything from Ishii in this. I mean, the only names from New Japan that are in this mat and that are on this card right now, I know obviously Jay White's going to be a part of it. You got Will Ospreay, who, by the way, I'm going to interrupt myself real quick because speaking of Will Ospreay is one of the best wrestlers in the world. That is not a question. We all know that. And if you don't know, well, now you know. Okay? Will Ospreay. I have dreamt for the day for him to ever be in the WWE. That will probably never happen. But Will Ospreay is so great at what he does. And it is an embarrassment at, first off, when he first made his debut on AEW 2 weeks ago, he got little to no reaction from the crowd. It was just embarrassing. And it's not the fans' fault. I don't blame the fans. I blame AEW for that. Because you got to make sure, one thing about AEW, yes, the AEW, the majority of their fan base are hardcore fans. However, not everybody that is a hardcore fan knows New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, they may know some names and then stuff like that, but they may not know everybody. Some people never even heard of New Japan Pro Wrestling. When you go to casual fans that go to AEW show, at the end of the day, AEW is an alternative to the WWE. A lot of casual fans maybe went over to AEW and, you know, and stopped watching WWE, or they watch both like me. I watch both. They may not know wrestling outside of these two companies. They've heard of it like TNA maybe. They might have heard of New Japan, I'm sure, before, because we've had New Japan wrestlers on AEW before, but that doesn't mean they watch the product and they watch everything about it. So when you got a guy like Will Ospreay, who has for the majority of his career has been a part of companies outside of the outside of America, you know, we know he's the Revolution Pro world champion, but that's out of Britain. You know, he's been a part of New Japan for the longest now. I don't think he's ever been a part of Impact. Obviously, he's never been a part of WWE. He's wrestled in the United States plenty of times, but never for like a big promotion. You know, you got a guy just show up on AEW Dynamite. No one really knows who he is, even though he's such a big star in the wrestling scene. He's not a big star here in America. You know, more people are going to know Seth Rollins than Will Ospreay in America. It's just true. Roman Reigns, obviously. The Cenas, the AJ Styles, the, you know, they even knew Orange Cassidy more than him. Which proves, you know, which was, the proof was last Wednesday night on Dynamite when Orange Cassidy made his return. He got a bigger pop than Will Ospreay ever got in AEW. You know, and I know it's only been, we've seen Will Ospreay now, I think, 3 times in AEW. And then he lost the first match, by the way. It was a tag team match. He didn't get the, he didn't take the pin or anything, but he still lost his first match. It's just not a good look. It just really hurts that he was not, he didn't get the well-received applause or cheer from the crowd. That I just thought that he rightfully deserves, being one of the best professional wrestlers in the world. But, you know, let's see. But yeah, you know, but going back to the actual pay-per-view, I mean, we're looking at this pay-per-view right now. we have the only names from New Japan Pro Wrestling that we got. Like I said, we're gonna have Jay White, it looks like. We're gonna have Will Ospreay. We got Hiromu Tanahashi, who's obviously a huge name. Let's see, who else are we? I know we got a couple of some other guys, up and comers in New Japan. But no Okada, no Naito. You know, it's just weird. It's a really weird pay-per-view to not have all the big names from New Japan be represented in this. And I understand the Okada situation. I believe Okada's girlfriend or wife, I'm not sure which one she is about to have a baby. I believe it's also her birthday around that time. So, you know, with his family being in New Japan, in Japan, it just makes sense that he's not going to be there for it. I would have planned around that. If I was in New Japan and AEW, I would have probably not set that date for the event. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. That's probably the only date they had available. Well, you know, it is what it is. It's not looking... I agree with my boy Hydre. Hydre wanted like a Survivor Series style pay-per-view for New Japan and AEW, kind of like a versus type thing. I know we do have some versus matches. Obviously, we got the Jon Moxley versus Tanahashi match for the interim AEW championship. I know they just added a trios match. Let's see, where was it? They got Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Lance Archer versus, who was it? Minoru Suzuki. No, I said that wrong. I'm sorry. Hold on. It will be Suzuki, Jericho, and Sammy Guevara versus Riley Yuta, Shota Umino, and Eddie Kingston. So, I mean, that's sort of a, you know, AEW versus New Japan type thing in a way. Let's see. I know they have that triple threat tag team match that they added with the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions FTR versus the New Japan Tag Team Champions United Empire versus Topanga Vice, I believe is their names, with that's Trent Barrera and the other guy. I know they got that, but it's still not living up to the hype. I said last episode with Hydrate that we were probably going to buy this. Yeah, I'm streaming this. There's no way I'm buying this event. It's not worth it to me. There's not enough names in there for me to really, you know, want to buy this event. Maybe if Omega was back healthy, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan, which is his match is up in the air. I know he got challenged by Zack Sabre Jr., but they still haven't, you know, made that official. You know, if we saw something like that, Okada versus Daniel Bryan, Omega versus Tanahashi or something, or Omega and JY, Tanahashi versus Moxley, something like that, I would be like, okay, yeah, we gotta buy this. But right now, it's just not worth buying it, in my opinion. It's just been a poor setup. A lot of low names up there besides Tanahashi and Jay White. But other than that, you know, it's just not interesting. And, you know, even AEW fans are saying the same thing. A lot of AEW fans, I was looking on Twitter, they're not happy with this card either. It's not looking good, to be honest. They're probably not going to... The numbers are not going to be a high number, I don't think. You know, like the all-out numbers or the double or nothing numbers. I think it's going to be a much lower buy rate. But at the same time, I think it's going to still be a good event. I just don't think it's going to be the hype. It's not going to reach the levels that it was when they first announced it. I think that's a fair... I think that's really fair to say. So, yeah. Just totally disappointment. But speaking of total disappointments, and I'm sorry, Sasha. I'm sorry, Hydre. I gotta say I'm sorry to you guys, because for what I'm about to say might be a lot. It might be more hurtful to you guys than for me. I obviously don't give a shit to say this. But the story I'm about to talk about next is, of course, The disappointment that is Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy was recently arrested, DUI. I want to say this happened on Monday or Tuesday, I think was when the news came out. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head for sure. It happened 5 days ago. 5 days ago today was, today is Saturday, so that's what. That was Tuesday. Yeah, so Tuesday morning, he was arrested for DUI. And I got to say, this is exactly what I said on that day. I posted this on Facebook. I also went off on Twitter on Jeff Hardy. But I said that Jeff Hardy is lucky I recorded my episode, the last episode, episode 29, with Hydrate. He's lucky I recorded my episode before the news of his arrest came out. He is purely embarrassing at this point, and I don't want to hear any excuses about it. WWE tried to help him, and wouldn't surprise me if they saw this coming. And yeah, people, this is the thing too. Like, don't get me wrong, I get it. His last run in WWE, it was him being underutilized and all that shit. But let's be honest, I guess we know why. We know why. Jeff Hardy has been proven to be untrustworthy. And seriously, this is serious. I mean it. Sasha, Hydre, I'm sorry, but I'm serious. He's got to retire. He's got to retire. He's got to stay away from the business because it's obvious. It's so obvious that he can't handle it anymore. Him staying, it's one of those things where if you used to be a drug addict and you go away, you stop using drugs, you stay sober for 5 years, but the entire 5 years, throughout the whole time that in your 5 years that you've been sober, you're still hanging with people that do drugs, and you're always in a room where people are doing drugs, and you're chilling with those same people, you're around it all the time. Eventually, you're gonna get back into it. It's like, it's just common sense. He's got to go away. If you really care about Jeff Hardy, you will stop being a fan of Jeff Hardy. Sasha, I am talking to you. Sasha, you want Jeff Hardy to be Jeff and live a long life? Stop being a fan of him. Say no more. Enough is enough. Because this is... I don't feel bad for him anymore. I don't pity him no more. No, it's gone. Not if this was one time, I understand. If it was two, I can get it. You know, people make mistakes. One time, hey, it happens. Two times, okay, you're stupid for making the same mistake before, but now you're good. Now that you made the mistake once, you made it twice, you ain't making it no more because you already know what happens. But three times or four, I don't even know how many times it's, but I know for sure this is the third time, at least the third time. Three times? And for every company you work with, you fuck up. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't feel one bit sorry for him anymore. I don't. It's to the point where it's pathetic. It is absolutely pathetic what is going on with Jeff Hardy. And I want to make it clear, because as much I love AEW, I do, and as much as you guys know, I do not like Tony Khan. I don't like Tony Khan at all. Respect him, but don't like him. I don't blame him or AEW at all. I can't blame them for this man's poor decision making. They did not say drink and drive at 9-something in the morning, by the way. And then there's a report saying that he wasn't even going to wrestle anyway at the past Dynamite in that triple threat ladder match that the Young Bucks won the tag team titles in. They were going to do an angle where they get attacked beforehand because Jeff Hardy needs to get his head checked or something. For I'm not sure what reasons they had behind it, but he was scheduled to go to the doctor to get his brain scanned or something. or I don't, like I said, I'm sure maybe it was the concussions thing. I know there was a point he had a match with the Young Bucks and he didn't remember any of it. So they were going to get him checked out pretty much. But I don't know what the fuck was going through his head. I don't blame Tony Khan and AEW for this man's poor decision making. But I will say this, I didn't think that, you know, putting him in those situations, that hardcore, well, I don't know what type of match it was, but let's just say hardcore match with Darby Allin, those crazy 5-on-5 matches that they were having where they were fighting all over the arena. Jeff Hardy has been in several honestly what the fuck moments so far in AEW. And like crazy moments, like Jeff Hardy moments, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't need to be doing that anymore. And like I said, I'm not blaming AEW for this at all. I do believe that that's the stuff that led to it. But at the end of the day, it's Jeff's decision and bad decision making that got him in the situation. It just, those matches didn't help. And he needs to go. He needs to retire. Tony Khan and the AEW, they're not babysitters. They set you up to put you up, to, you know, they make the matches, they make the storylines and stuff like that. But it's Jeff Hardy who needs to say, no, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I don't think this is a good idea, Tony. I gotta watch myself. I'm not gonna be able to handle this. My back is killing me. Or whatever the case may be. I gotta chill out. I feel like those feelings I felt before, where the pain is starting to be too much, and I gotta, you know, it's on Jeff. It's on him. And it's to the point I'm not even disappointed in him. I'm just disgusted. And Sasha, it's like I told you earlier, like you gotta say no. You gotta say enough is enough, and you gotta stop being a fan of this guy. Because maybe when he starts losing those fans that once respected him, maybe that will help him see the light. And to be honest, maybe he needs to be in jail. Maybe he gotta, I mean, come on, DUI, that, you know how many people he was on the road with at 9 o'clock in the morning on the highway, and he's swerving? You know how many people he passed? Thank God they were smart enough to call the police. You know how many people he could have hurt? Kids. All the shit that's going on in the world now. We lost kids in the high school and shootings and stuff like that. And I'm not, you know, obviously he's not comparing, but just the loss of life that we've been losing lately. And you out there DUIing, driving while intoxicated. Come on, man. That shit is sickening. It's to the point of sickening, man. He's got to go away. He's got to be done. No business. No company should want to do business with him. And I do want to say this too. I don't blame AEW for not releasing him. I don't blame them. At the end of the day, I get it. It is a business. You know, you want to make sure he's okay. They did suspend him without pay. But I get why they didn't totally just flat out release him. You know, that may not be good for him, for Jeff, I mean, you know, like, you know, damn, now my life's over, what's there to live for, or something like that type of thing. You know, that's my mindset if I'm AEW and Tony, then thinking, you know, maybe like, hey, if I do this, maybe that's all too much already. You're already fucked up. I don't want to add this other pressure to him. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. Look, Jeff Hardy, I'm a fan of Jeff's. Always have been. I've always liked Jeff. But he hurts too much. He hurts his fans too much for me to be a full-on supporter of him. Love when he's in the ring, but I just can't. I feel horrible for the fans more than I feel anything for Jeff. So hopefully he does get better, in whether it's in jail, whether it's in a facility. I don't care where it is. Just as long as he retires from the business, he needs to. And I think I think both WWE and AEW deserve credit for trying to make sure he's okay. WWE, I believe, did see this coming. I believe they tried to, you know, help him. I'm happy that AEW is trying to help him now. Whether he accept, I would assume now he has to accept their offer to help of the help. I wish he would have accepted WWE's at the time, but you know, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do. We just don't want a repeat of, you know, the past with other wrestlers who unfortunately lost their lives to drugs or to alcohol, to whatever the case may be. That's all we're just trying to avoid and hope that, you know, we can move on from that. But enough of Jeff. I'm just tired of Jeff. I'm tired of talking about Jeff Hardy because it's too much. It really is, man. It's to the point where it really is just too much. And it's just not worth it. It really isn't worth it. Alright, let's see. What is next that I want to talk about real quick? Oh yeah. We have some big injury news going on in the WWE. We got Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes being out for potentially the rest of the year. We know for sure that Randy Orton is going to be having back surgery, as confirmed on SmackDown by Riddle. That's going to keep Randy out for the rest of the year, pretty much. I could see him potentially coming back around the Royal Rumble. If not in the Royal Rumble, I think that would be a nice return. Cody Rhodes, you know, we know his injury, him after that hellacious Hell in a Cell match where he wrestled with a torn pec. You know, he was written off of TV. He also had surgery after he was attacked by Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw. He was written off, had surgery, successful surgery, by the way. And he's going to be out probably to the Royal Rumble also. With the Royal Rumble next year looking to be really, really good. My early favorite is Cody Rhodes to win that Royal Rumble, by the way. But, you know, we got a long time till then. There's talks that Cody's going to be getting that Triple H treatment. I want to say that was back in 2002. Yeah, 2002. Yeah, because that was WrestleMania 18. When Triple H had that whole... he got hurt. If I remember that, he got hurt in 2001. Then that was when he tore his quads. And when he was teaming up with Stone Cold. I want to say that was that. Yeah, it was. He got hurt teaming up with Stone Cold. It was the two-man power trip when they were facing Benoit and Jericho for the tag team titles on Monday Night Raw. Tore his quad. He was out for a majority of the year. Came back. They started doing vignettes of him getting faster and stronger. And all these cool vignettes they had. They even showed like his surgery in it. And then he arrived. He came back for a Raw prior to at Madison Square Garden, came back, I want to say early January of that year for the Royal Rumble. Got one of the greatest pops of all time. He was actually really, really nervous because he wasn't sure the reaction he'd get, and it was one of the greatest pops. It's still one of my favorite returns in WWE history. Just such a great job, such a great return by him. And they're talking about Cody getting that same type of return, which I think would be absolutely phenomenal. I think it's a great choice. Cody idolizes Triple H, which is why he does all these things to Triple H and kind of like attacked Triple H when he was in AEW. He was a fan of him. That's one of his greatest idols. So it just makes sense for Cody to come back with that, you know, for them to do that and have that same ideology with him. You know, Cody's a huge star, and the way I can see it, you know, Cody comes back, you know, maybe Seth Rollins wins the Money in the Bank, somehow wins the titles, and then you got Cody and Seth versus, I mean, Cody versus Seth at Mania. Cody versus Seth 4 at Mania for the title or something like that. You know, I don't know. At some point, we're going to have to get the titles off of Roman. It's only if, though, if we get The Rock versus Roman Reigns at Mania. I think it all, you know, the main event match of WrestleMania next year really determines what everything else is going to be. I know that's kind of like an obvious thing, but I think now it means more. Because if you got Rock and Roman at the main event, then, you know, that leaves, now what do you do with Brock? What do you do with, you know, Cody? Eventually, we got to get Cody versus Roman. You know what I mean? You got to get that match at one point, too. But Rock and Roman is going to be the biggest match in, you know, you can argue that could be one of the greatest, biggest matches in WWE history. You know, it's just going to be that big. You got the tribal chief, the head of the table, versus the most electrifying man in sports entertainment history, The Rock. I mean, it's going to be magical if they can make it happen. We all know that The Rock's schedule is right now open for WrestleMania. He's not taking any dates around that time. So if it happens, I mean, it pretty much is set in stone, I feel like, in my heart at least, that is going to be the match. And then, so you've got Cody coming back at the Rumble. You got Randy coming back at the Rumble. You know, I think throughout this whole time, too, you can have Riddle become a main eventer. After that, you know, he had a great match against Roman yesterday night for the titles and the losing effort, but his stardom, I think, went up after that match for sure. You can even have Randy come back as a heel. Like, I thought this year we would get Randy versus Riddle not the Royal Rumble, at WrestleMania. We can get that next year. Just imagine the card for WrestleMania. And this is an early look at next year's WrestleMania. Actually, let me write some of this stuff down just in case, because I might have some straight facts predictions against Sasha when she returns. And you know, we're gonna have, I can tell you right now, Sasha about to get some vignettes for her return. She's gonna have some special vignettes. I already got some planned in my mind. But let's look into the next year's WrestleMania real quick. I'm gonna write down some of the matches that I think we already gonna get. So let's go ahead, write down Rock versus Roman. I think we're going to get Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes for the title. I'm going to assume just the regular titles. I think by then they'll split the titles. So for the WWE Championship. All right. I think we're going to get, let's see. I think we'll get Randy Orton or Randy versus Riddle. I think that's the match that's going to get Riddle even more. Like, Riddle's going to need a big time win. His big time win is going to be against Randy. I think that's just, it makes the most logical sense for me. So that's exactly what I would do. Randy versus Riddle. I'm also looking at, let's see. I need something for Brock Lesnar. So for right now, we're going to do Brock Lesnar versus Theory. I don't know why, but that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Brock Lesnar versus Theory. And everyone's going to think it's going to be crazy, but Theory's going to be pushed so much this year. Theory's going to deserve that spot. I really think we're going to get that. I think it makes sense. And this would also give Theory his first big win of his career, besides the United States title, but against a really, really great opponent. I think Brock Lesnar versus Theory is going to be, I think that's going to surprise some people. Those are some of my early matches so far that I'm thinking for WrestleMania 39 in LA, which I will be attending. I am going to WrestleMania next year. I have to see The Rock's last match. I've never seen The Rock up close. I've never seen The Rock in person in any form besides just watching him on TV. I have to see The Rock one time in my life, and that's going to be at WrestleMania, and I can't wait. I am going to WrestleMania. It is, I don't care what I have to spend. I'm going to LA. I'm going to watch WrestleMania 39 in person, whether I'm in the top deck, whether I'm in the front row, or if I'm in the middle of that square ring. All I know is I have to see The Rock one day, and I hopefully it's then. It'd be an honor to see The Rock and Roman Reigns WrestleMania 39. But just real quick, going up back to Randy real quick. Why do I have Randy versus Riddle? Because I think Randy's going to be, he'll be coming back for the Rumble. Everybody's going to be cheering and going crazy that Randy Orton is back. He may even come back like number 30 or something like that. It doesn't really matter. But he's going to come back. He's going to eliminate Riddle in the Royal Rumble. I think that is exactly what I do. He eliminates Riddle. Riddle's about to win the Royal Rumble. Randy eliminates him. And then Cody eliminates Randy. And boom, there you go. Cody wins the Royal Rumble. Randy eliminates Riddle. Riddle's upset because he was about to win. And then that's where the feud begins. Randy starts getting mad that he gets tired of being called Randy instead of the Viper. And he turns on Riddle. Or it may even be Randy's about to eliminate Cody. And then Riddle eliminates Randy. And then Randy gets upset and boom. Either way, it's going to be some type of... Something's going to happen in the Rumble that causes them to split up. Randy's going to get turn heel. He's going to turn on Riddle. Absolutely destroy him. And then we get set up for the Royal Rumble. We get set up for WrestleMania 39. Probably going to be night one. Randy versus Riddle. One of the best tag teams in the world. The mentor versus the prodigy. I think it's something that could be really special. And I think it's, like I said, it's going to be a match that Riddle... it will get Riddle his first big win of his career. That will launch him into superstar. I think that will be the feud that does it. Obviously, Cody's going to be the main star, the face of the WWE. Besides Roman, obviously. But Cody will be the face of the WWE. Roman will be the heel side. So after Rock and Roman will be that dominant heel. Win the match against The Rock. Cody's the new WWE champion. And then we get Cody and Roman feuding for the rest of that year or something like that. I just think something... Maybe at SummerSlam, that's when you get Cody versus Roman or something after the Mania that year. So, excuse me. There's so many possibilities, so many things that can happen leading up to then. But it's just, those are just four matches that I just have off the top of my head for next year's WrestleMania. That's something that I would do. As far as the women's side, I'm not sure yet because... The only thing from the women's side that I know, actually, I do have one match. The only match I know for WrestleMania next year, it'll be Bianca versus Charlotte. That's the only match I want for the women's side that I really want for sure from the women's side. Bianca defeating Charlotte, whether she's defending or beating her for a title, it doesn't matter which one. I definitely want that because she would have beaten every single member of the four horsewomen. She has never beaten Charlotte, so that would be her first win, and that's something that I definitely want to see. But that's it, guys. I think that is all I wanted to let off my chest today. We had a lot of big scandals, a lot of big situations going on. It's been a crazy 2 weeks for the wrestling world. Hopefully we can all, as a fan base, grow through this. Get through it and just enjoy that we have so much wrestling going on, so much great wrestling. We got, just look at the events we got coming up. We got Triple Mania tonight. We got Money in the Bank coming up in 2 weeks. We got Forbidden Door next weekend, and You know, we got SummerSlam. I mean, we got so many great things coming up. It's just unfortunate with all these events happening, and then all the injuries. You know, I've mentioned the Randy Orton one, the Cody one. You know, obviously with Omega hurt, Kenny Omega hurt. You know, Bryan Danielson hurt. It's just a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's a lot of unfortunate things, but we are still blessed to have so many great wrestling options, so much great wrestling going on. I can't wait to address it all in all of my future episodes. I can't wait for Sasha to get back. You know, hopefully she's back soon. I wish her the very best. Her family, everybody, just wish her the best. And can't wait for her to make her return. I can't wait to do the vignettes for her return. That's going to be great. It's going to be very special to have Sasha back. It's just, we got a long ride. I keep mentioning that it's a long journey, long ride. Because the future's bright. And I just absolutely cannot wait for it all to mean much more than it already is, because it means a lot doing this, you know, every couple of weeks. It really does help me just enjoy life, you know. It's a really great thing to do. Everyone needs that one thing that just makes them wake up in the morning, and that's what this is for me. I love recording episodes for this podcast. And I hope to do much more. I want to get into more fields. You know, I mentioned last episode, you know, I just had my production company. I just signed my first person, Hydrate 10K, who was my guest host last week. And I hope to do more things. I hope to incorporate more of that stuff into the Daddy Fino show. I want to also do some like live streams, you know, whether it be on Twitch or Facebook or whatever, or YouTube. I would love to do that live episodes, and you know, interact with fans more. And there's just a lot of things that I would love to get into with this show. But you know, that will come. I cannot wait. I'm currently working on something big for the Daddy Fino show at the moment. That's going to help. I would think that it's going to help build this show and get more eyes and ears onto the product. And that's just something I will announce, you know, later down the road when it is complete. And, you know, just got to keep working on, keep working hard, and just keep going on and keep moving on strong. But anyway, that's all I have for today's episode. This was episode 30 of the Daddy Fino Show. I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you so much. Just remember, Spotify, Apple Podcasts is where you can listen to us, and any streaming site, honestly, you can find us, but the majority listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So make sure you like, share, comment, do all that stuff. Share with your friends, spread the news. The Daddy Fino Show is here to stay. You know, you got your boy Daddy Fino, my co-host Sasha the Legit King, and yeah, got so much more for you guys. Can't wait to show you. All right, I'm out of here. Peace.